It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to it. Back at it for another work and school week. It's time to talk this morning, and we've got some special guests joining us in studio this morning. It's our pleasure to welcome Andy Godinez and Jackie Ginther to the program. Folks, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
It is great to have you guys on. This is going to be something very interesting this morning. We'll talk a little bit about this off air, but first of all, let's give the folks out there a little bit of background about both of you guys out there. And Andy, give the folks a little bit about who is Andy.
So I am a Pottsville native, born and raised.
Okay.
Basically grew up in the fire service in Pottsville. Grew up at American Hose right over the street here.
Okay.
Been involved pretty much ever since.
Okay.
About 16 years ago or so, I moved down to West Reading where I'm assistant chief, but I'm back home at least twice a month.
Okay.
Still hanging out.
Cool. And Jackie, a little bit of background about yourself.
Yeah, born and raised in Schuylkill County, originally from Cressona, moved to Pottsville about 27, 28 years ago. Paramedic for Berks and Schuylkill Counties.
Well, that's an interesting job.
Yeah.
My favorite show is, of course, it's come a long way since there was Emergency back in the day. Big Johnny Gage and Roy DeSoto and those
first
guys.
First thing I did when I became a paramedic was flip the caps off.
KMG 365, I knew all that stuff. Absolutely. But speaking of that and going back in time, that's one of the reasons you guys are here, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. because you guys have a really neat project. I know when Casey told me about this, I said, yeah, this is going to be great. So if you can, tell the little folks out there what that project is.
You want to start?
So what we did was we kind of branched off of a Facebook group page that Andy had started called The Silent Sentinel.
Okay.
Which was also a term used frequently by Mike Kiksock. And we had discovered that a lot of the fireboxes in and around Schuylkill County were aging. Some were being torn out. A lot were in disrepair. And him and I had started to have a conversation about what we can do to keep these going. I know Andy has a great passion for it, and he can explain more of that when it's his turn. But in talking with how we can get this done, we knew that there's no funding for it.
Okay. And that's always the first thing you look at, yep. Yes.
Correct. So yes. Because there was no funding for it, there's no funds allocated for it. We weren't able to apply for any grants because we're not a 501c3. All those kinds of things went into play. So I had the brilliant idea of starting a GoFundMe. And that kind of kicked it off. And we then added selling challenge coins. We have some other fundraising ideas that we want to do. But it's really just now getting – my main job is working on the funding of it all.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because I found it interesting as a paramedic by trade and to get involved in this. But the funding end of it, that makes sense to mm-hmm. me, yeah.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a job, as you said, would not be able to get grants. So.
Right, yeah. Right.
So good stuff. So, Andy, your turn.
So this all started way back the early 90s for me. Through the Schuylkill Historical Fire Society, so Schuylkill County Fire Museum up in Shenandoah.
Yep.
We started and basically took it under our wing, taking care of the systems, maintaining them, and supporting them. So it's a bear. And obviously that the fire museum itself operates on donation alone.
Right.
And adding this on top of it is quite the monumental task, which is why we came up with an additional revenue stream and try and raise funds and more so even just awareness, too, because not a lot of people realize that the systems are still in service and active.
I did not know that until when Casey was setting up the interview. I looked into that a little bit, and you're right, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and one of the reasons I got involved as well, too, as a paramedic, I had a patient that was unable to use her cell phone, did not have access to her cell phone, and this was over in St. Clair. And she ran outside and pulled the firebox and sat in the middle of the street until we got there.
There you go.
The only way they found out there was a problem. Mm-hmm.
See? So that in itself, lends itself to let's refurbish this. But as we talk about this, funding is one thing. I mean, but we're talking, some of this stuff is old, like we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, so Can you even find this stuff around anymore, Andy, like, the, you know, to refurbish or?
So the cool thing about the system is the old technology was built to last.
Okay.
So 135, 140 years still in service.
Mm-hmm.
The boxes and mechanisms themselves could last for another 100 years easily. The only thing that really breaks down is stuff that is affected by UV from the sun, so the wiring.
Okay.
And some of the wiring is 100 plus years old.
Wow.
It's finally starting to break down and showing its age, so we've been piecemealing it together as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But the major, the primary goal is to start replacing the wiring for the system.
And the wiring itself isn't, you know, because you're talking, you know, nowadays the technology, yep, the way it is, that's a lot different than what it was back then. So
right.
I got to believe that's going to be hard for you to, you know, try and find this stuff.
It is. Right? It's been a task. We found one or two different vendors that still offer it, but obviously you have to buy in bulk. So mm-hmm. a couple of miles at a time, which trying to do that, you know, you're looking at a couple grand.
Right. And again, no grants. Got to, yep, be talking fundraising here.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's not easy.
Yeah, not easy stuff. But the systems, they still hold value.
Okay.
Like, for instance, you hear a lot of these power outages overseas and cell phone outages and stuff, and sometimes the 911 center itself would go down with the voice over P. Whereas the fireboxes, it's 135 years old technology. It's nearly impossible to break it. And it's battery operated. So the battery backup could last for months, even if the power grid goes down. So you're talking like storm damage, hurricanes, especially around here when we have stuff.
Sure.
So if phones go out, power goes out, you still have a means to send it to transmit an emergency.
See, and I'm old school. I even say this with decorations. Give me the older ones because they were, yes, made to last. And, yes, and seriously, yeah.
And it's still, it's wild to think about it with the advances in technology. It's still technically the fastest way to transmit an alarm. It's 30 seconds with no questions and the fire department shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I was going to say, because I can remember we were talking a little bit off air, the fireboxes. We used to know the numbers. Okay. Politicians are great. They used to give you that little booklet there that gave you the fireboxes and what they meant.
Yeah, phone. Yep.
Exactly. Yep. So I look around, you know, driving through Shenandoah, my former borough and like, and you see them, the red boxes and like now. Yep. And like you said, I don't even know. I think this is a good idea you're having, because what if, say, that lady you were talking about went out and tried to pull that firebox and it wasn't working? It was non-operation.
Yep. Right.
So there is a bunch of – so way back when, they were smarter than you give them credit.
Yep.
There's fail-safes to it as well. So if the wires would break on one side or the other, it would still function through the ground. So it'll transmit via ground if it needed to.
Wow.
If it lost power. Yeah, so there's a bunch of fail-safes. I mean, it's nearly impossible to fail the system.
Now, you talked about the historical, you know, fire museum and the like, but how about some feedback from anybody else? Like, when you decide, hey, we're looking at trying to undertake this task, and as you said, it's not an easy task. So,
right,
are you getting some support from, you know, the different communities?
So
or
the municipalities themselves have no funding. Like Pottsville, for instance, they allocate, I think it's like $3,000 a year, which is basically just enough to keep it running.
Running, right.
And not replacing so much parts. And it's taxing for everyone because, you know, everybody's fighting for funds.
Sure.
And it's nearly impossible to do it. And that's why we started doing it standalone.
Mm-hmm.
But the support is there. We have people that come from out of state. Like, for instance, this past week, they were up in Monee City getting that system back up in service. There's people that came from, like, West Virginia to help. Like, the want and desire is there.
So I was going to say, when you're talking people coming from West Virginia to Monee City to, you know, fix the system, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
And Monee City system was down, you were saying, right?
Yeah, for a couple of years even, because the building that housed their control panel and stuff was sold.
Okay.
And they didn't know where to put it, if they were going to restore it. This past year, they allocated the funds to put it back in service. They started working on it. A gentleman by the name of Tom Ward and Tom Donathan were working on it this past week, and they got it running again. The compressor's in. They installed the equipment, checked on some of the circuits. They're making leaps and bounds in progress. They're doing a phenomenal job.
Wow.
Yep.
And how about some of the other municipalities? What do you find out there? Because you're only two people. I mean, are you getting some help? Because, my gosh,
so,
that's the other thing. You need some manpower.
Right, right. Yeah. So a lot of municipalities that know what they have support. Mm-hmm. For instance, St. Clair is one of, if not the best maintained system probably left in the country.
Wow.
Besides Boston and like San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
They do an amazing job, too. They're actually adding to their system.
Wow.
Their new developments are getting at least two more boxes put in. Mm-hmm. So they do, an amazing job. They found out the need and desire for it and actually the worth of it and keeping it up and running.
Right. Right. And we got lucky enough that through one of the municipal bids, we were able to procure 47 fireboxes that were no longer in service in Connecticut. So I took a road trip up to Connecticut. So we now have 47 boxes that we can put in service or use for parts. Some of them are not complete. But anybody that these municipalities that either need to replace it or add to their system, we now at least have that.
But that's the amazing thing, too, because you were talking funding and light, but now you find something like this, and you guys got to go make that trip, go get them. And I mean, so, man, that is so such a demand.
Even just the tape. The tape that it punches, very registers. Hard to find. Yeah. So I was able to get 16 rolls of that as well.
And how does that work, like, with the tape? If you can, could you explain that a little bit? Because
so the registers that you read out where the box comes in, so they're in the fire stations.
Okay.
It'll punch out a number that corresponds with the number of the box in the corner. Okay. So it'll punch numbers into the basically triangles into a piece of tape that runs by, and then you count them, and that'll tell you where a box is. Now, obviously, over the years, there's many boxes that come through. The rolls need to be replaced, and, 130 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
The stuff's really hard to come by now, but, I mean, it lasts, a couple of years as long as it's not a busy system.
Sure.
So.
Well, I wouldn't even begin, like now you said, that was a long road trip. I mean, where you could even find these anymore. Yeah. Like, that's the thing you undertake this. And I think it's a great thing because I happen to love the old system myself. But finding them and finding the materials, because like you said, their old technology has changed so much.
Nice thing is they are quite literally bomb-proof. Once it's in, the mechanisms themselves will last forever. It's clock windings. I mean, it doesn't fail. And if it does, you'll probably hit it with a car or replace the box, and then you're good for another 100 years.
Right.
Yeah. The only thing that really fails on it and broke down is the wiring itself. Mm-hmm. So the cable that we need to find, and that's basically the driving force for the funding that we're looking for. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see, that's why it amazes me, because like I said, it just the design of this. I mean, why change? I mean, I know it's technology. You got to go into the future, but gosh, this stuff.
That is literally one instance where if it's not broke, don't fix it.
That's my point exactly.
Absolutely. It's worked for 135 plus years in the county now, and it's still in service. So that speaks volumes.
Exactly. Now, we talked about St. Clair being in good shape. As a matter of fact, they want to expand. But, how about some other boroughs? You talked about Pottsville. Because, again, you talk about these boroughs, they don't have the money.
Right.
So I think Shenandoah, neighboring Frackville, Monty City, places like that. We mentioned Monty City.
Yeah, Monty City. And, again, with Monty City, they're making leaps and bounds. That's going to be in service. They are hoping by the end of the summer it's going to be done long before. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. As far as the city, again, funding is a huge thing. They put as much as they can and probably snake a little bit more in there when they can.
Right, sure.
But it's enough to keep it maintained. It's not enough to replace.
Okay.
And this is basically not taking over that, obviously. It's to supplement it and be able to do more than what they're able to.
Now, you talked about getting those boxes now. Mm-hmm. What's the next step after you get them? Like, where are they going to go, or how do you go about,
My next step is we just unloaded most of them into my apartment. Finally, they've been in the back of my Jeep for a week. It's to go through them and inventory what we have.
Okay.
Check the cog number, see what number box that would technically be. See which ones are complete, incomplete, and just kind of categorize them that if somebody needs one, we know what we have, and then we can distribute them as needed. Anything we don't need for parts or for use, there is a lot of websites and the Allentown Spring Thaw. That is like a big firefighters collectors expo every year where we can then sell the ones that we don't need and then use that money to go back into the funds.
Yeah, see how you got to like kind of mix and match, in order to keep it going.
Yeah.
I mean,
And it's all based on need too. So Tom Ward is a local guy, and he works on a majority of the systems in the area, Pottsville, for instance, and he does a phenomenal job as well. So if he needs stuff specifically, he can let one of us know or Mike Kitsock know, and then we got that. If not, then we go happy hunting. We'll find it.
Yep. Yeah. We do a lot of it's now become a labor of love. Morning I wake up, I check my emails. And then I'm right on the internet checking the government bids, municipality bids, looking for different auctions that might be selling some of these things off again as other municipalities go offline. Their loss is our gain. So we're constantly looking for places that might be having an auction or getting rid of these pieces that we can go get them.
But it is a labor of love because, yes. I mean, you've got to take all that time to, you know, try and find it. Then, as you said, it's not a stone's throw to go get them and then bring them back here.
Right.
And
right.
then once you bring them back, as you said, go inspect them and check them out. Yep. Mm-hmm. Gosh, mm-hmm. that
takes some time.
It
really does.
It does, but it's worth it.
Yeah,
it's
and all you're out of it, if it saves one person, mm-hmm. worth it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep. And it was just my personal experience with that patient that.
That yeah, you know, I mean, that's a great story. I mean, that's all you would need, I think. Yeah, that absolutely. Was it. That story.
Then we were hooked from there. Yeah. We took a trip. We actually took a trip to Westchester to have dinner with my daughter. And we stopped at the Fame Fire Company. Okay. They have a beautiful museum inside their fire department. And they had a system on display. They no longer use it in service down there, but the system was on display. And Andy and the museum curator got to talking. Yeah. And he's like, "What can you tell me about this?" And Andy looked at him and said, "Well, first of all, you've got some bells hanging upside down." So that kind of started that conversation of this curator, his name was Mike, and Andy having this conversation. And I'm just kind of sitting in the background listening to these guys talk about this and hearing the passion in his voice of how he can get the system running enough that you can trigger it to show people that come in to see the museum and watch it work. And we had a nice conversation on the way home that, okay, you can do that for this man in his museum. What can we do at home? Let's right. get this going. And that's how this all, it all just blew up from there.
Now, but do you have any, like, help? It's you two guys in here now talking about it, but you're still only two people, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the smallest gnat in a dog can drive it crazy. So, yeah. It's not just us, though,
no,
either.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Kitsock is probably one of the
great
biggest,
guy, yep.
Yeah,
yes.
absolutely fantastic yep. guy. He's one of the biggest supporters of the systems in the county. And Tom Donathan, he's the gentleman that's working on the system up in Money City.
Okay.
He's the one that comes from out of state.
Wow.
He calls them his babies. And that'll be the hill he dies on. He loves it and keeps it in service because they know the value of it.
Sure.
Right? The advances in technology are great, okay?
Sure.
But it's still the fastest way to transmit an alarm. Last month, even in St. Clair, their school, the elementary school, has what they call a master box.
Okay.
So when a fire alarm goes off in the school, it trips a box, immediately goes through the system. There's he said it was a 2-minute delay between the time the alarm came in on the game well, the telegraph system,
mm-hmm.
and the actual call into the 911 center.
Wow.
And a lot, not a lot of people realize that.
Sure.
Like, they're all over the place, too. Like Pottsville High School, for instance, a couple of nursing homes in Pottsville have them.
Mm-hmm.
Now Schuylkill East, but both of the hospitals also had them. Like mm-hmm. they're still in play.
Sure. Now they still do. Like I know the old system in Shenandoah, like it would blow a number, and that was like the boxes on that corner, Lori
yep.
and Catherine, or something like that.
Yep.
Are they all operate similar to that?
So it's all the same systems. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now the alerting systems are a little different. For instance, St. Clair, Shenandoah, Tamaqua, they have the horns so that
yes.
everyone hears it.
Mm-hmm.
Pottsville used to have that. But they took that away. They took it down off years ago, and mm-hmm. now they're just sounding in the stations and at the 911 center.
All right.
So, that's kind of unique to Pottsville. It's the
we have a
system.
Station nearby, and you're right. That's I noticed that here in the city. Yeah, I heard that one, but that's
yeah.
Right. So
yeah, but and we noticed as we were walking in here too, right across the street, there's the one on the pedestal.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And that's
that one's gonna need some attention.
That's gonna
soon
need
too.
Some attention.
Yeah,
that'll be our next project.
Yeah.
So do you have any idea, like, the number of boxes? Because the wear and tear just having them out on the poles,
so Pottsville has just shy of 100 street boxes, so literal boxes on the corners.
Okay.
And then a total of 135 box numbers for the city, whether it be a phantom box, just an area
mm-hmm.
that they can activate, or, like, the master boxes in the hospital and the high school and the prison.
Right.
So the ones that are on the corners, there's 99 in Pottsville alone.
Whew. Wow. And I would take it that's probably the most out of, like, the surrounding
areas.
It is the
biggest.
Yeah,
the biggest secondary area. To Shenandoah, and then Monty City and St. Clair, obviously.
Because I know, I think back in the day, I'm dating myself, I think Shenandoah went up to 53 or something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I know 51 was mine. When you hear that, that guy always got your attention.
Got your attention real quick.
Yeah, the firebox always did, but boy, that number itself always got your attention. Yep.
We were actually just up at Monty City at the Hookies.
Okay.
With the, what was it, the Sentinel.
Okay.
And did a brief little blurb with that, too. And the young lady that was doing the interview said mm-hmm. that she knew her box. That was part of her emergency plan.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was fantastic to hear that because she's younger.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these people don't realize just how much that they have at their disposal. Like, mm-hmm. they're still in service. They're able to be used.
Right. Yeah. Right. I did not know, like, really where that stood because, you know, now moving, you just hear the one siren in Ringtown, for instance. Like,
yep.
I used to be used to count that. Like, you'd get quiet and be out doing the counting, like, the number and then running for the card that politicians always gave. That was always a great thing.
Everywhere.
I think that was so sad when they lost that because that was something actually useful you could use.
Yeah.
But... No, I think it's a great thing.
So, and my hope is now that the more we talk about this and the more it gets out there and the more people learn about it, is to try to get some of those younger junior firefighters and those just coming into fire and service to pick up the same interest that these guys can then pass down their passion for this so that we have a new generation to maintain it when these guys get too old to do it.
See, and that's the thing, and no matter what we talk about, you always have to work on getting the youth. Because the turnover is going to be there, and you need somebody there to pick things up and keep going with it.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
And I know we had some of the guys in. They were talking about, you know, the youth getting involved, and it was pretty nice with some of what they were saying. So that was good to hear, because you need that in order to keep anything going.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, back in the day, you break the glass and push
right.
it.
So,
I never had to use one. I've always heard them, but I've never had to use one.
So one thing that they have changed over the years is there's no glass involvement.
Okay.
They removed
that's a good
all
thing.
Yes. So you just open the door if need be and then pull the hook down.
And pull the hook. Okay.
That's right. They still operate the same, though.
That's awesome. Yeah. See, I think that is so great.
Yeah, some of the ones in Pottsville still have the window
where
the glass was.
Okay.
You can still see them. Yeah, there's one right at the end of Nicholas Street where you can see where the glass would have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Third and Arch is another one. So there's still some of the original boxes from 1890 sitting there still working.
And still working. Yep. What does that tell you? It's still working.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
The technology is awesome. Quick break, folks. We're coming back with more as we talk with Andy Godinez and Jackie Ginther. More on the program coming up after these messages. Welcome back, folks. Hour number one of the program as we continue this morning. Our guests in studio, Andy Godinez and Jackie Ginther, talking about restoring those old-time fireboxes. I think this is a great subject. And you guys, man, you can tell it's a love for this, too, because you're battling funding. You know, it's not a stone's throw. We talked about for getting these things and the like. So let's talk a little bit about that as far as the finance end goes, because you made a good point, Jack, when you were talking. When you go somewhere and you're bidding on these things, man, you got a ceiling, and once you hit that, that's
right,
it. So.
Right. Yeah, so the more we can get as far as now there's grants and there's all different kinds of community funds out there, but a lot of times they come with restrictions that it can only be used for certain things.
Right.
So we need things that we can use at our discretion, funds that we could use at our discretion. That if I do see an auction for wiring or parts or something that we need, that I can just jump on it and get it and get it in here and not have to then file paperwork with the people that donated the funds. And so we do need a little bit of freedom, especially when it comes to online auctions and bidding and things like that, that we don't have to back out because we've hit our cap.
Right.
Obviously, you know, we know our limits. We know when too much is too much.
Right.
When the wiring went for our cap was 4,000 for the wiring. As soon as it hit that, I was out. I knew anything more than that, it just wasn't worth it for us to spend all of any money that we've raised on that. So it is something that I continue to watch, that we all continue to watch. They'll send me links. Hey, here's another auction. Let's jump on this one. I've got a lot of friends out there that are keeping an eye on for those kinds of things. But we do need that little bit of cushion for when these kind of auctions pop up, because they can pop up at any time.
And that's the thing. You don't really get a heads up well in advance. I mean, you're cruising along.
It might be a day.
Correct.
Especially the wiring. It's not something we can just run up to Lowe's with a credit card and pick up. This is something we've really got to watch and keep our eyes on. Those exterior red boxes that everybody's used to seeing. The pedestals, like we were just saying, the one out front here looks like it's starting to deteriorate. You know, so now I'm going to be watching the auctions to see if a pedestal goes up for auction. So I want to be able to jump on that right away before somebody else does, you know, and that's what, because we want it for usable purposes. Most people that get on these auctions do it to resell them.
Yep, Exactly.
And that's not our purpose. Our purpose is not to resell them. We will, if we have extras, just to put money back into the funds.
Sure.
But that's not our main goal. It's not to make a profit from any of this.
Right. Now, you were talking about hooking up maybe with the Historical Fire Society and going that. If you can take us through that a little bit, Andy.
That's pretty much how this all got started, too, the Fire Society. So our Facebook group and a group of folks that we have, the Silent Sentinel, if you'd call it that, was is basically just the driving force for fundraising for it. We'll be using them as like a partner, I guess you would say, or a parent company. It's 501c3, tax deductible for any donations now, which opens us up for, you know, the availability for grants and funding.
Which would be a huge help.
Oh, yeah, huge help, which opens up the door for a lot of stuff. I know a couple of grant writers that are actually willing to write some for us. Knock on wood, get some money coming in, be able to keep these systems up and running.
And that also opens us up to be able to apply for Small Games a Chance.
Right.
So that we can have different fundraisers and auctions of our own, you know, game nights, whatever the case may be, whatever kind of fundraiser we decide, you know, people sell off the lottery tickets or, you know, some of the different fire departments started that when COVID hit.
Right.
They went to online kind of fundraising. Mm. But you need a Small Game a Chance for that. So having the 501c3 will also help us then get that Small Game a Chance license.
Awesome. One of the other things always, you know, come to mind, you know, are, you know, businesses, sponsors, we like to call them, or even the politicians with an idea of how to help out. So is that an option, or where do we stand with that?
Absolutely. So even if it's not monetary donations, if you're capable of like donating, you know, certain. So for instance, Tamaqua Cable down here in Schuylkill Haven, Crescent area, they're looking to donate at least somewhere in the near future. If they have the ability to donate the actual wire that we need, which would be astronomical. So, but like as far as like monetary donations, anyone can do it. Whether it be like a business or personal or like you said, local politicians, you know, our folks. I mean, we're doing that out of our own pockets too.
Right.
So
like,
it's literally no different.
Yeah. And we were fortunate. Andy's cousin, Renee, she actually kind of jumped on board with us a little bit, and she is organizing a fundraiser for us through the Chopping Block.
Cool.
So they're going to have a night for us, and they're going to donate some of their proceeds back to us. So, you know, watch for details on that. I believe it's going to be sometime in July. So that'll be a fun night. You can go out, throw some axes, and raise some money for our cause.
Yeah, and let us know when you have that, because we'd gladly promote that with our you know, community spotlight that. So
right now, our rough date, I believe, is July 13th. We just have to do some finalizing on that. But, yeah, look for that in mid-July for sure.
Yeah, and that's a great place. Very popular right now, so good idea. Hope more people out there, you know, get wind of that and, you know, help you out as well.
Yeah, that would be great. Things. If we can get any business to do any kind of night for us. I know, was it the Eagle Bar down here in town?
Oh, yeah, they did it for the fire
department. They did a big thing for the fire department where, you know, over the whole weekend, a certain amount of their proceeds went towards the Pottsville Fire Department. So, you know, we would love that for any businesses. It's good for the businesses. It's good for us, especially if that business is within the confines of this system.
Yeah.
That
they benefit from it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They benefit as well, for sure.
Because, you know, everybody says that, you know, people, you know, take things for granted until that fire alarm goes out and you're involved.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden you realize how much, you know, the system and these individuals mean to you.
Right. And I'm going to do a little plug for them here because they've been so great to us. But the two Mikes, Mike Kitsock and Mike Allure, they have their brand new book out.
Okay.
And within that book, several of the incidents that they mention, it will have a wording in there.
It was reported
reported by this box.
Wow.
Especially here in downtown Pottsville. You know, there was a lot of, so it was used very, very heavily.
Sure.
And people say, well, it's not so much anymore because of technology, but we're finding now that technology's failing. We've had a lot of cell phone outages in the last couple of years. We just had one last month.
Yep.
Where I think it was Verizon went down for quite some time that people were not able to use their phones to call 911.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I remember that, and people were panicking. I mean, they were calling here exactly. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm one of those, I go kicking and screaming into the future. I mean, I like this old stuff. I mean, it's proven, and something of this nature, I didn't realize, you know, just how far back it goes, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And still going strong.
Mm-hmm. Still going.
That's awesome. And, you know, the two guys that you mentioned, man, they know their stuff. You know, they've been on the program. We've interviewed them. It's amazing. to sit here and just listen to them.
Yeah, Mike Galore and I, so I grew up across the street from Mike, and he is a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
He's like one of the best historians for the fire service in the county and in Pottsville alone.
He's been on twice in a very short period of time, and man, it was like you said, it was riveting to hear some of the stuff that he had to say.
Yeah.
And then Mike Kitsock with the fire museum.
Absolutely.
Gosh.
Yep. So it's folks like that that we have that they're so passionate about it. If it were up to those two alone, it'd be enough to keep it going.
Right, yeah. Right. But that it becomes contagious.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I saw his passion for it, which then latched onto me, and it does. It just grabs you because it's such a fascinating system that you want to learn more and you want to see it survive.
Now, is there a way, like folks listening to the program right now, because one of the main reasons we had you on is to get the awareness out what you guys are doing and what you're all about. So people say, yeah, that's a great idea, where they can help out, contribute, or how could they go about that?
Especially if you have Facebook, Andy is the admin of the group. You can just Google the Silent Sentinel, and it's a Facebook group, and we post on there a lot. We have all the links to our GoFundMe, to the challenge coins that we were selling. Any updates that we're doing, progress reports, all kinds of different things like that. That would be the place to go for sure.
Yep. And then as far as monetary donations and stuff, there's a separate account made for it as well.
Right. And that's, I have a separate account set up. So if anybody wants to make any kind of donation like that, they can either look me up on Facebook, even get to one of the to Andy, to Mike, any of the Mikes, anybody like that. We're all kind of interconnected, that one of us can get a hold of each other. But Facebook right now seems to be again, just you have to jump into the future and run with what you got.
And
that's where the word's really getting out. But we wanted to do it all the other ways that we could too. We've done TV interviews, we've been on WNEP, WBRE, and just kind of getting the word out there. So those links are still out there and available, that you can go on WNEP.com or WBRE and watch our news interviews that we did for them. And those have the links as well.
Cool. Now, the challenge boxes, challenge coins, you mentioned that earlier. Can you explain a little more about that, exactly what that
is? Yeah, so most people, a lot of first responders particularly, know what a challenge coin is. So it's a little gold coin. And we had it made with the... one of the firebox at Nicholas Street is on the front, and then on the back it says the Silent Sentinel. And for the most part, you purchase one, and then a lot of people trade them. They collect them. If somebody does something extraordinary, they might give it to them as a gift. So we've been selling those. They're $20 a piece. We have probably about 70 left out of the 150 we started with. So I'm hoping to have a couple in my pockets as the fire department block party season comes.
That's coming up.
So if you happen to bump into one of us at one of the block parties, we will have some with us. But they're just a great little collector's item. And once we get rid of these, we're going to do another round and find different fireworks. Maybe I'll go up to Shenandoah and take a picture.
Cool.
And have that made into one, and just try to get some of the other communities involved so that it truly becomes collector's pieces for people. A lot of people collect anything that has to do with the Gainwell fireboxes.
Absolutely. And Frackville, I think, first one as far as the block party, always over to Memorial Day holiday, we know.
I just want the bean soup. That's it.
That's good stuff. So Andy and Jackie, I think it's a great thing you're doing here, and I'm excited about that. So anything you might want to add in closing before I let you go here today?
No, spreading awareness that they are still active. It is a means to call for emergency.
And I will guarantee you, a lot of folks out there do not know that, because I wasn't sure myself if they were still active or not.
Yep. If it's on a pole and there's not a piece of tape across it, it's still active.
Awesome. So I think it's great what you're doing. So please keep us informed of the latest, any type of fundraise you have going on. We've got our community bulletin board that we will make sure that we push it for you, because I think this is a great cause. I'm excited about this.
Good. Yeah.
Great job.
Us on.
All right. And we'll have it up on the website and on Spotify when we're done. So a lot of other folks out there, if they didn't hear it now, they'll certainly hear it at their leisure.
Wonderful.
Cool. Good stuff. Andy, Jackie, best of luck. I think it's a great thing you're doing.